Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hope everybody's having a good time today.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. There was this very, very heavy man, and he went to the doctor. He was talking about weight and so forth, and the man says to the doctor, but you know, my mother's this way, my brother's this way. Obesity just runs in my family. The doctor says, that's not the problem. Nobody runs in your family. Interesting enough, that goes along with today's message, because you got to do your part. And that's what too many people don't want to do in the kingdom of God. They want the magic wand. You know, my wife and I ran healing rooms for 10 years, and they want the magic prayer and want to go back out and live the lifestyle they used to live without the challenges. They don't want to change. They just don't want the issues to go with their lifestyle. And that's not the way it works. Okay? So this is a checklist for manifesting healing. And if you really want your breakthrough, we need to constantly be reevaluating ourselves. Okay? Now, many of you here are familiar with John Wooden, probably greatest college basketball coach ever. He had a winning streak of 88 games at one time. Okay? But there's a football team that they had a movie about called When the Game Stands Tall. And this coach had a 151 game winning streak.
Wow. Yeah.
12 years without a loss.
Wow.
And the way he did it was he taught his players, every day you give a perfect effort. You may not win every day, but every day you give a perfect effort. He also taught his players they are responsible to his team members. And they were accountable to somebody else. And when you're accountable to somebody else, you tend to do that perfect effort. And in doing so, he won a total in his career of 399 games, which has not been touched by anybody in any sport anywhere. Okay? And that was his basic theory. So today, when we go through this, we're thinking of, are you giving yourself a perfect effort? Or more correctly, are you giving God a perfect effort? Because that's what he expects from us. He knows we're not going to win every day. He knows there are challenges that are going to come up from us every day. But he expects us to give our best every single day. And I want to thank Pastor Joshua for having me do this lesson, because it's really rededicated myself to do my best every day. Because what happens is, we get complacent. Little things will slip in. And things won't be done properly. And as soon as a little thing isn't done properly, then another thing isn't done properly, before you know it, a whole bunch of things aren't being done properly. You have to stop and evaluate and look at what's going on. So as we do this, okay, let's go to general comments. These actions are designed to help you reach a point where you feel as if I'm doing everything I know what to do but not seeing a result. Many of us are there. Many of us have been coming to healing school for years. We've gone through School Dominion for years. We've done everything we know to do. We're still not having that major breakthrough. Okay? All right. These are some of the most commonly made mistakes. They're not any spiritual order of importance. It's not in order. The idea is for you to evaluate everything for yourself. Pick out what needs to be corrected so you can correct it. Okay? If it's taking longer to achieve your healing manifestation than you expected, check these most likely hindrances first. If you're not doing affirmations or doing them enough or doing them incorrectly, next, cancel with your words. If you're doing all these things correctly, then make sure you're confessing your sins each time before doing affirmations. Okay? Next, have you forgiven everybody? So let's go through these one at a time. Okay? Are you doing affirmations? I thought, yeah, I'm doing affirmations. How many? They don't know. Why not? Because they just do affirmations. Well, that's like going to the gym and say, well, I don't know how much weight I'm putting on the bar, but I'm going to go do some bench presses. Well, how many bench presses do you do? I don't know. Well, it's not going to do any good. If you somebody's really in training, they know they need X number of pounds on the bar. They lift it X number of times. The next day, they X number of pounds on the bar, they lift a Y number. They have a progression. They list it. They know what they're doing. It's not haphazard. Do you want to fly on a plane that jet engine mechanic did something in a haphazard way? No. Don't take your life that way either. Okay? So, are you counting the number that you're doing? And the reason why is when you're talking to somebody, I can say, okay, how many are you doing? You're doing 100. Let's go up to 125 and see how that goes. Okay? Which ones are you doing? Is it listed down? Or are you just pulling off the top of your head? Trust me, if it's not written down somewhere, and you're not following a list somewhere, maybe it's on your computer or your phone, I don't care where it is, but if you haven't got it written down, the enemy will see to it that you skip part of it some way, somehow. You'll get distracted. Something won't go through. Okay? Do we need to increase the number? Now, some of you have trouble counting. Fine. Set yourself a time limit. Do I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus for 5 minutes? But make sure you watch something so you know how you can progress. Check your progression on it. Okay? Number two, are you doing them correctly? Are you doing them in the past tense? Now, Pastor Karen and I had the healing rooms, and we had a gentleman who came there. He was a World War II vet. So he was dealing with my father. They knew each other, but they were there at the same time. And he describes the incident that when the Japanese mortar shell came across, he could see the Japanese writing as it went by him. And he dumped into the hole, and it didn't kill him, but it cost him the challenge of his hearing in his ear. They tried to put a little metal pin in there and did some different things so that they knew what to do, so forth. For 60 years after he got saved, he was saying, I will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. I will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. So in talking to him, we realized he was saying it wrong. So Pastor Karen says, repeat it this way. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He did it 10 times. He walked the other side of the room with his back toward Pastor Karen. She spoke in a very normal voice. He turned around crying because he heard every word. 60 years, because he had it in the future tense, not in the past tense. Nobody taught him to put it in the past tense. We cannot stress how important it is to use the Word of God correctly. We say the affirmations in the past tense because they all happened for us when Jesus died on the cross. Okay? Now, the other thing is that I tend to talk fast. And I noticed, I should say, my wonderful wife noticed that when I was doing my affirmations, and I was doing them very fast, they were inaudible. So let me slow down and enunciate my words properly. When I enunciated my words properly, I got better results. So I'd rather do fewer proper than a whole bunch improper, because that way you got better results. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm using the Word of God properly against the enemy. Okay? All right. Are your affirmations based properly on the Word of God? Are they following some scripture? Are they due properly? And do you always include in the name of Jesus with every affirmation? Some way, somehow. Now, this works for healing, finances, for anything. You find the verse, you must say it properly over your situation. You can never waver on that. Okay? Are you canceling your affirmations with your daily lifestyle, conversation, and behavior? Are your words agreeing with contrary circumstances? I was at a financial meeting one time, and the speaker talked about prosperity and the wonderful things you do when you do things right with God, and how, you know, we can take away the burden of financial challenges from people. And he gave a great, wonderful testimony. Talked about tithing, talked about giving offerings. It was one, really fired up the whole group. And behind him, as we walk outside, he sees somebody in a beautiful Mercedes, his Honda Rio Ford, that car. He said that. He just spoke for an hour on prosperity and walked out and says, I will never be able to afford that car. That's what he said. I'm not saying I'm quoting him. Well, yes, he never did get that car. And two, it took the semen of everybody around him and heard him say that. Because, I mean, he didn't believe what he just taught. Do you believe what you're speaking? Because if you do, you won't cancel it out with bad words. I'm not saying cuss words. I'm saying words that don't apply with the Word of God. Okay? Okay. Are your actions contradicting your prayer or affirmations? If you say you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, you get up and go to work. Okay? You do what you're supposed to do. You act as though you're already healed. Does that mean there are challenges? Yes, there are challenges. You have to work through it sometimes. I understand that. But your actions have to line up with what you're saying. This is all about building your faith up. getting your faith to do more. You know, the lady with the issue of blood, her actions were to touch Jesus' hem of his garment. And she pushed through the crowd, going, if I can just touch his hem, if I can just touch his clothing, if I can just touch him. And she's pushing through. And he says, according to your faith, you were healed. Well, what you say is according to your faith, but your actions have to say it. She had to push through according to her faith to do what she thought she needed to do to get to her healing, and she did. We must do the same thing. We must not quit short. It's not just saying the words, not doing something. Okay? Are your words sinful? I've said this before, but I'll repeat it because it's appropriate here. I worked with a lady. She was in her mid-20s, and she was a widower. A widow. And I'm flabbergasted. She's telling me a story that the guy that she married him at 18. They got married young. Okay? As long as she knew him, he would say the words, I will die when I'm 21. He said that countless number of times. 10 days before his 22nd birthday, he was in a car crash and died. His words facilitated his death. They were sinful words. Now for us, although we're not saying those kind of things, we got to be careful what else we say. We cannot say something that leads into sin. Like, nobody we know should be saying, I want to kill that person. Nobody we know should be able to say, you know, I hope something bad happens to that person. Those are sinful words. When you act that way, not in love and forgiveness, you're bringing tremendous challenges upon yourself. Okay? Our words are so, so important. We cannot say that enough here at ABC. We cannot stress that enough here at ABC. And the more you speak positively over yourself, the more your faith grows. The more your faith grows, the more challenge the devil has coming against you. We must watch our words continuously. Now, reading some of the teachings from ABC, the Word of God is the most powerful thing in the universe. He spoke light into being. He spoke the earth into being. He spoke so many things into being because of His words. We have Jesus in us. Our words are powerful too. As Pastor Josh likes to say, you need to speak your words so everything you say will come to pass. So when you say, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, believe it, because those are your words, calling the Word of God to receive your healing and manifestation. Amen? Okay. Number 4, are you confessing your sins? I try to do it every couple hours. Pastor Joshua attempts to do it every 15 minutes. Confess your sins. We don't know when we're sinning. But our teaching here says that when we sin, we open up doors for the enemy to attack us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, sins are a challenge. But the bigger challenge are the ones we don't know about. If you don't know about a sin, you need to confess the fact that you need to be forgiven for your unknown sins. Now, you're not repenting of unknown sins as you don't know about, but you need to go back to the prayers that are taught in the books to make sure you're doing it properly. And follow the recipe as given. Don't make it up on your own. Follow the recipe to get rid of all those sins continuously. And the more you do that, the more you'll be hearing God's voice clearer, and the more breakthroughs will come through. Just the other day, going to work, it's happening all the time, I tell so many stories, I was driving to work. The Holy Spirit said, get off the freeway now. So I got off and went around. When I got to work, I checked on the computer. There's a 3-car pileup that would have stopped me for hours had I been there. Okay? Why? Because I'm confessing my sins. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do for ABC. I'm hearing things properly. We need to be attuned to hear the Holy Spirit continuously. I'm not an alarmist, but I'm a realist. The day is coming where you better be attuned to hear everything He has to say. The day is coming where there's not going to be any time for thinking about it. You got to know that you know that you know. This is the Holy Spirit. He's telling me to do this, and I better do it right now. My wife tells a story when she was going from Guatemala to Mexico. And the Holy Spirit said, take the left road. And the left road was the way that was the bad road through where all the guerrillas were. And all of her people with her got really upset about it. She didn't have time to think about it. She just did it. The right road where the bridge was. The bridge was bombed and blown up. They may have been on that bridge at the time it blown up had she not heard from the Holy Spirit. We must be that attuned. And these practices will get you that way. It's about healing. It's about prosperity. It's about everything we do. But it's also about getting with the Holy Spirit so you can run with Him. And when you're running with the Holy Spirit telling you what to do, you are unstoppable. Amen? Okay. So I confess my sins periodically. Now, when do you confess your sins? When you know you sin. And if you got somebody who loves you enough to tell you something, don't be offended. I'm blessed with a wife that doesn't mind saying, honey, you're speeding. Oh, okay. And I'll slow down the speed limit and then I'll confess my sin. Not offended, she's telling me. She's protecting me. Okay? I'll see her do something. Honey, I need to correct you on this. With all due respect. And she confesses her sins. Why? Because sometimes it's easier for somebody else to see what you're doing than for you to see yourself. Now, it's not a bad thing to go say to somebody, you're doing sin wrong, you're doing this. That's not what it's all about. But if you see somebody that you know and trust well enough to talk to them in a nice way, say, may I make a suggestion to you that you need to correct this, receive it. You're doing it out of love. Okay? All right. And we said regularly, daily, I try to do it every couple hours, you know. Anytime you're going to do your affirmations, confess your sins. Anytime you take communion, confess your sins. Before you eat, confess your sins. Okay? Just get in that habit. Just get in that habit. Once you get in the habit, it's so easy. It's not even a thought process. You just do it. And I compare this to talking in tongues, as I said before to some people. I says, I find myself, so we were doing this praying in tongues 10 minutes every service or so, I just find myself praying in tongues. I'll be driving down the street and notice, oh, I'm praying in tongues. I'll be at my computer doing some work that doesn't take a lot of, I'm praying in tongues, you know. My point being that as you practice these things, develop these habits, they just become automatic for you. You don't have to think about them. Okay? Think about a basketball player, Michael Jordan. I'm a big Michael Jordan fan. Okay? He didn't have time to stop and think, how am I going to make this shot? No, it's just automatic. Why? Because he's done it so many times. Okay? There was a person here at ABC one time that was in terrible, challenging pain. And several of the team members were praying for him for about 20 minutes. And nothing was working. It just wasn't going away. And Pastor Joshua walked up and this person, well, let's rewind the video, as he says. Let's see, when did it start? Were you in pain when you got up this morning? No. Were you in pain when you drove your car here this morning? No. Were you in pain when you walked in? No. When were you in pain? Well, after praise and worship was in pain. Why? Because somebody had taken their seat. Oh, so you were offended. Okay? So once he got her to realize what the sin was, and forgive the sin, in 3 minutes, the pain was gone. So all the 20 minutes of prayers didn't do any good because we didn't get the root of the problem. We have to look what the root of the problem is, get rid of that sin. And the demons that go with that sin take care of those. So that way, we can get rid of the problem. Okay? All right. And offense is a big one. Offense is huge. Okay? Now, Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision, make it plain. Do you have a faith action plan? Do you know what you're supposed to do on a regular basis? Have you written out your prayers? It can be in handwriting, in a little book, on your computer, on your phone, I don't care. But you know that every day you got somewhere to go to where you can track everything that you need to do for a successful day. Okay? You ever see the shows about the pilots? They may have done it 5,000 times. Check, 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 check. And they go down the list every single time, make sure every flap is right, every light is right, every this is right, every that is right. And you want them to do that, right? No? Okay. We need that with our own lives. I always put all of ours on our phone. I go to any date, punch it up, it's right there. You know? And since my day starts so early, because of I work off the East Coast time zones, I will open my phone up and leave it there. And periodically, I know where I'm at. I'll take my breaks, but I make sure to get through those prayers on a daily basis. Because she's taking the time to put it on my phone so I can look at it correctly. You need to have it somewhere that's in front of you where you can see it. Because as soon as you fold it up and put it away, trust me, the enemy will make sure you don't get back to that section. Okay? Find some way to do that. Okay? So, have a faith action plan. Write it down. Write down that you finished something. Score yourself. What's the one thing you hate to do the most? So he says, oh, I hate praying in tongues the most. Great. Give yourself 20 points for doing an hour of tongues. Reward yourself. See that, okay? Get that. Get to where you're doing 80 or 90 points in any day. Then increase things for the next day once you finally get up to that level. Okay? But put a scoring system in. Reward yourself. Write it down. Keep it in front of you. Keep that faith action plan in front of you. You look at the NFL. Those coaches have a clipboard with their plays on it. They know what they're going to do no matter what happens at any point in time. When they're 30 yards down, when it's 30 to go for a touchdown or for a first down and a third down, they know what play they're going to call. Okay? Follow these guidelines of people who are very successful in what they do. Take some time. Is it work? Yes. Schedule out some part of your day to set yourself up. If I go to the gym, I set up a whole workout program for everything I'm going to do. I follow it along. I check it off that I finished it. I look where I'm going to increase the next time. Okay. If you got a spouse or somebody who can go with you, then they'll keep you on target. I get to how many times Pastor Karen, I've been praying, and she will hear me say something improperly and correct me. And then I cancel, make that null and void, cover it with the blood of Jesus, and say it the correct way. Because when you're doing these things a lot without somebody with you, it's very easy for a mistake to happen. You've got to counteract each other. The demons are devious. They're very talented at what they do. I'm going to repeat something I said many times before. Satan convinced a third of the angels and heavenly beings to leave God's heaven and come to earth, convincing them this was a better place to be. Okay, they're good at lying. They're good at tricking you. They're good at deception. This is how we stay away from it. You know what their biggest tool is? Tomorrow. You can start tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow never comes. Right? Tomorrow comes, it's today. Okay? So get your plan out, write it down. Okay? Make sure your actions are consistent with what your plan says. I'm in financial advice. I have people talking about all these plans they're going to do to make things better. Well, then they go on a trip to the Bahamas. Okay? So why didn't you have money for your 401k today? Well, we went to the Bahamas. Okay? It's your choice. It's your money. But that's inconsistent with your plan. So when you're 80 years old, that Bahama trip is going to cost you a bunch of money because it has the time to grow. Their actions are inconsistent. They're not going to get the rewards they want if their actions are inconsistent with their plan. So you can run out the best plan in the world, but if you don't follow it, does you no good. Okay? All right. Okay. Are you receiving communion every day? There was a lady named Ruth. She was here at ABC and she was losing weight. She couldn't keep weight on at all. It was getting so bad that we have to put the bag there to take things out of your body that shouldn't be there. That's messy colostomy. Thank you. Disgusting, terrible, messy, and not something anybody really wants to go through. So one of the directions of Pastor Josh, she took communion once a day. She gained a pound a day for 10 days, and they didn't have to do the surgery. Okay, so are you doing communion on a daily basis? Why not do it several times a day? My wife and I have started a program where we do it like four times a day. We do a whole series of things four times a day. We pray in tongues for 10 minutes, and we take communion for 10 minutes. We forgive our sins. We try to do it together, you know. But when you take communion, something special happens. Okay? Okay, number seven is the big one. This is what I think is the biggest challenge for almost everybody I know. Not me, of course. No. Have you forgiven everybody who's offended or hurt you from your heart? Keywords there are from your heart. Okay? And the list is under enemies, children, spouse, parents, friends, co-workers, self, pastors, employers, siblings, church associates, God. And ask the Holy Spirit if you're carrying an offense that you don't realize. It'd be surprised if people are ministering to you that don't realize they're offended at something. We had the healing rooms, a lady came in, I have permission to tell the story. And she's one of the sweetest, loveliest little old grandmothers you ever met in your life. You just wanted to hug her. She was adorable. Still is, as a matter of fact. I looked at her and I says, Pat, I'm getting the word offended. That something has really distressed you. And she's saying, no, I'm not, I don't have offense. I've forgiven everybody. I says, actually, it's more than offense. It's actually bitterness. There's some bitterness that I'm picking up in the spirit on this situation. She says, I just can't think of anything. I was okay. So let's pray over this. I led her in prayer for God to reveal if there was any bitterness in there. After leaving the healing rooms on the way home, she had to pull over the car for over half an hour to get all the bitterness she had buried so deep and down, as far back as her childhood, to get it out. That was on a Friday night. Monday she was scheduled to have a double mastectomy. But when she got there, the doctors couldn't find any lumps anymore. And they canceled the surgery. 90%+ of the challenges we face are because of offense. Satan is very good at getting people to be offended. Spouses especially against each other. He knows your buttons. He knows how to trip things up. We must walk in forgiveness at all time and unoffense, not to be offended. Cannot stress this enough. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, today, I heard the story about on one of the airlines. They got stuck on the tarmac for a long time, and the waitress was passing out some water. And one of the guys cracked a joke. He says, you should throw some vodka in here since we've been out here so long. It was just a joke. He wasn't threatening anybody or anything like that. Well, she got offended, and she went and made a phone call and had him arrested. Now, the charges were all dropped because there was no basis to it, and the people around him were telling the police officer there was no basis to it, but in her little Hitler syndrome, she had the right to do that, okay? The point is this here. I'd forgotten about this until today. Last time I was on an airplane, I saw something that I had questioned, and I politely asked the stewardess about the policy of the airline when this happened. And she almost dismissed me like a child. You know, in the old days, I would have gotten argumentative, but I decided that wasn't the thing to do. So I just, you know, prayed about back to my seat, but I realized today that still bothered me. So because the Lord revealed it to me, I was able to forgive this stewardess that was so rude to me. And when I did it, I blessed her. I didn't say, I want to forgive that rude steward. I didn't do that. I forgive her for actions. And I think, you know, she may have just had a tough day. She may have had something else, maybe the pastor on the plight before, giving her a hard time. Maybe she just didn't want to deal with it or something, you know. So, I forgave her. Now, that's really important because later this summer, my wife and I are flying back to my hometown to see my dad go to my cousin's wedding. I want to make sure I walk on that plane. There's no animosity toward anybody. It opens up any doors for me to have any troubles on our flight. Amen? So if you don't know something, ask the Lord to reveal to you. Is there anything I'm offended at that I need to pray about? Make sure you're getting this out. I take that back. I can't speak in the void in the name of Jesus. Too many people carry feelings deep down inside of resentment. And they fester and fester, and it poisons the system. And when Pastor Karen and I are doing marriage counseling, it's amazing how many people have issues that have been there for 20 years that we've got to get rid of. Because they never had the common decency just to talk about it in a friendly way. Okay? So I'm going to stress this again. If you're carrying any offense in any way, shape, or form, find out what it is and get rid of it. We must walk in love, joy, peace, and all the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit at all times. We must. We should be a beacon to those people around us that we're that kind of a Christian. Oh, I'm going to go back up to the words again for a minute. I use the word challenge a lot at my office. And I said, well, that's an interesting challenge, or I've got a challenge here to take care of, or something like that. Because that's what we say here at ABC. We don't say somebody has a cancer, they have a challenge of something to go forth, right? We never call it we call it a challenge, right? And this guy who sits across from me, he's a very nice Jewish man. He said, I don't use the word challenge a lot. I said, I do. He says, why? I said, well, if I say it's a problem, it's a problem. If it's a challenge, it's something I can overcome. Since that day, he's called everything a challenge. It's spreading around the office, you know. You know. And that's all they are. This is just something we need to overcome. Okay, great. Number 8. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I used to hate to speak in tongues. I thought it was the most boring thing in the world. Can I get it over with now? Come on, run for it, you know. And now I can't wait to do it. Now I forget I'm even doing it. The blessings have overtaken me so much as we've started doing this with the tongues. You know, it is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I thought in the old days doing 5 minutes of tongues was really something. Now, hour, 2 hours doesn't bother me at all. You know why? Because I'm getting more and more from the Holy Spirit. I can't get enough, and I can't keep increasing. I increase it all the time. I'm going to encourage you. Start speaking in tongues more. Start it consciously. It'll take over subconsciously. You'll develop that habit. Tongues are a secret panel to the Lord. Tongues do so much. We can't explain it, can't understand a lot of it. That doesn't matter. I don't know how electricity works, but I know when I flip the light switch on, the light comes on, right? I know when I speak in tongues more, I hear the Holy Spirit better. That's all I need to know about it. I don't need to have the time-saving breakdown. I don't need to know the mathematical equations that work for it. I need to know that when I speak in tongues, I hear the Holy Spirit better. The more I speak in tongues, the more I hear the Holy Spirit. The more I hear the Holy Spirit, the better my life goes. There's something right about that. Okay. Are you tithing? I know people are probably tired of hearing about tithing. But if you're not tithing, you're under a curse. It's that simple. You open the door up for so many things that come against you. Now, from a worldly standpoint, think about it like this. Would somebody really want to drive their car and not have insurance on it? Why? For a few hundred bucks a month, you protect it against somebody damaging your car, you hitting somebody else's car, lawsuits, the list goes on and on. Okay? Tithing is very cheap insurance. Keep the demons away from you. I mean, come on now. Let's be honest about that, you know. Is it worth 10% to keep the demons away from you? I always use the statement, 90% with God is better than 100% without Him. Mm. You know. And I talk to people who say, well, tithing is Old Testament and so forth. And I say, well, murder is Old Testament too. Can you murder now? They're looking like, you know, does it matter? Is there anywhere where Jesus says you do not have to tithe now? No. Then you should tithe. You can justify your actions any way you want to, and God will not go against your free will to do so. But one problem in this world today is people want to have their free will with no consequences. That's the problem. You have your free will, but you will have the consequences that come along with that. Okay? My free will is to pay my tithes and more because I don't want those other consequences. Okay? I have a very good friend who told me that, you know, tithing was Old Testament, he didn't have to do it anymore, and I tried to explain it to him several times. God bless him, he's got so many physical challenges, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm praying he's starting to open up to me finally that we'll have a breakthrough. But I believe it comes from his not tithing. Not tithing means somebody has fear they won't have enough. It means you're not trusting God to take care of everything. I knew that gentleman I was talking to about finances, and after 2 years he told me he hadn't been tithing. I said, why not? He said, well, my mortgage went up. I said, what's that got about tithing? He said, well, I figure if I paid my mortgage, I ask God to give me money to pay the tithe. I said, that's the reverse of the way it works. You pay your tithe and ask God to pay your mortgage. Now, here's the thing. Because it took him so long to come to me and talk to me about that, before I convinced him to refinance his loan, and then he went to somebody else who did that for him, also confirmed what I said was right, but I told him first, cost him over $20,000. If he'd come to me on day one, this is what happens, I would have said, keep tithing, go refinance your loan. They didn't do that. $20,000 is already gone. It's extra interest paid to a bank. It's gone. Can never be recaptured, can never come back. Now, we pray with him for the devil repay sevenfold what was stolen, don't misunderstand me. But the bottom line is, because he wasn't tithing, he wasn't hearing from the Holy Spirit. Wasn't hearing from the Holy Spirit, he didn't know to come and take care of the situation in a better way. Okay? Now, Pastor Josh has a story of a man he knows was bedridden. Couldn't get out of bed. Told him to tithe. Because he's under the curse. He wrote the check. That day he was able to sit up. A few days later he was able to get out of bed and walk. 2 months later he was completely healed. Because he obeyed God's law. There's nowhere you can disobey God's law and not expect something to happen. Satan is waiting for an opportunity to send people to you when we disobey God's law in any way, shape, or form. But the obvious one is tithing. Because that's where he says he will rebuke the devourer upon you. Malachi 3, 10, 11. If you tithe properly, he will rebuke the devourer upon you. Okay? So when you run into people who are having challenges, ask them, are they tithing? They're probably not. And they can excuse it and they can justify it away. It doesn't matter. Okay? Great. Are you attending church regularly? Hebrews 10, 12. Do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. We live in a very interesting society today. There are great speakers on TV. Don't misunderstand me. They're wonderful. They do a really good job. They're very encouraging. Some of them, they do that part, you know. But they're not the ones that are going to lay hands on you and pray for you when you need it. They're not the ones that are going to counsel somebody when they need it. You need to be in a church that loves you and cares for you, where you have that anointing of the church saturating you. With a few small exceptions, rarely does an anointing come through the TV to the people that are sitting there watching it. Maybe a great message doesn't mean they're anointed to do something for you. Okay? We must attend church on a regular basis. 1, 2, 3 times a week. And keep going. You're plugging into the Lord. When you come to church, you're plugging into the Lord. Not going to church is like trying to take the battery cables off the car and starting it up. It's not going to work. Why? Because you need to be plugged in. Okay? Great. Are you reading your Bible daily? Pastor Joshua told me that he started one line per day. The goal is to be consistent. Now, he can always do more than that, but he wants to be consistently at one line per day to read the Bible. Okay? Get consistent with the Word. Okay? Now, sometimes I like to do is I like to read Proverbs on the day of the month. Today's the 17th. I like to read Proverbs 17. Okay? Pastor Karen told a friend of hers to do that one time. A cousin of hers actually did that one time. It changed a person's life. Okay? Great. Now, as you do these things, as you take the time to write up your list and see what you need to do and put it into a perspective, and if you want somebody to review it, come to one of the team members. We'll be happy to go over it and discuss it with you and make suggestions for improvement for you. Why don't you think about improvement? If you take that list and you improve 1% a week, you'll improve 50% a year. The second year, you'll improve 75% over the first time because you're at a higher level. The third year, you're about 210%, and it goes on and on and on. So very, very quickly, you can go from mediocre to exponential. But consistency is the key. It can't be haphazard. It has to be consistent. It has to be daily. Okay? So give yourself a perfect effort. Give God a perfect effort. And see what He will do. This church believes James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Okay? So you've got a list of 11 things there. Tomorrow, Saturday, many of you are not working. Take a couple hours out of your day. Think about what you really need to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in this. Now, it's not etched in stone. You may find next month you need to make some adjustments. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I use the analogy of GPS. You know, if you got a GPS, it'll set you on a road and take you wherever you want to go. Okay? All right? I like maps. Why? If there's something on that map I don't like, I can go a different way. These young people, they couldn't even read a map. Like, what are all these lines on here for you? Okay? So on that note, I'd like to pray with everybody. Okay? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for this opportunity to go back to our fundamentals, to see what we need to do, to see our breakthroughs that we need to have, to understand what we need to do, and to have the wisdom, discipline, consistency to push through to victory. For us, for what we need, Lord, but also for you and your kingdom. And we would be an example to other people who will come to us and say, how come your life is doing so good? We'll say, it's Jesus Christ, and these are the things you need to do to get your life on track. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor James. That was excellent. Okay, we have a couple of things tonight. First of all, let's just look at the homework assignment. Real easy. On this coming Sunday, there will be a final exam. So I want to spend some time while you're taking your 2 hours tomorrow going over some of the modules and just refreshing yourself on some things. And then we also have an assignment due tonight, which is to bring with you some sins and curses in the area of anger and in self-hatred for us to break tonight. So if you'll take those papers out. Let's just take a moment to confess any sins or just refocus on the anointing. Okay, if you have your list out, we're going to start with the one on anger. So if you'll follow after me. First of all, why don't you go ahead and take a look at your list again. Remind yourself of what's on there. Okay, so follow after me. In the name of Jesus, I repent of all my sins of impatience, frustration, anger, rage, and giving of offense. I repent of the sins of attitude, intention, thought, memories, words, actions, and deeds related to these sins of impatience, frustration, anger, rage, and giving offense. In the name of Jesus, I choose to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice go. I choose to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, just as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me. I choose to walk in love and be a loving and forgiving person. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person from my heart who has participated in these sins or caused me to sin or been affected by these sins. In the name of Jesus, I bless them from my heart. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit to operate on me, my body, or my life because of these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie to these sins and to every person and spiritual being connected to or behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse, every vow, every covenant, every contract, every hold, every hook, every connection to evil resulting from these sins. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free by Jesus Christ. He or she, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you set us free. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, let's pull out our paper now on self-hatred. My Heavenly Father, your word declares that I am accepted in the Beloved, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You, my Father, look at me through the blood of Jesus and only see me in right standing, that is righteous before you. You have buried my sin, in the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I repent of the sin of self-hatred. I repent of every attitude of self-hatred and all the words I have used about myself and all the actions that I have taken because of self-hatred. In the name of Jesus, I cancel and make null and void every word of self-hatred that I have ever spoken against myself. I repent of pushing away others from me because of self-hatred. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person from my heart who has participated in this sin, or caused me to sin, or been affected by this sin. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind this sin. In the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit to operate on me, my body, or my life because of this sin. In the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie to this sin and every person and spiritual being connected to or behind this sin. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse, every vow, every covenant, every contract, every hold, every hook, and every connection to evil resulting from this sin. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free by Jesus Christ. He or she whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. Free from anger, free from self-hatred, and in the name of Jesus, we bind every demon, devil, and evil spirit and cast them out of our lives now in the name of Jesus in these areas of anger and self-hatred. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.